This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Build Forward Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning. Yes, a feel-good Friday because the Knicks extend the series. They don't go down at home in Game 5. They play great right out of the gate. Jalen Brunson was telling everybody, this is not the night. This is not the day that we go down. And, of course, they didn't. This was one of the more comfortable games that they had played in the entire postseason. Not quite as comfortable as Game 6 against the Celtics, but still pretty damn good as they go wire to wire against the Indiana Pacers. And I tell you, man, I want to believe, I want to think that they're going to go into Indiana and get it done in Game 6, but this Pacers team last night was terrible. We know that they're better than that. Tyrese Halliburton wasn't a factor at all. And for that to happen again would take a lot, but I saw great defense. I saw Jalen Brunson being the best player on the court. Karl-Anthony Towns still sloppy with the fouls, but man, they did give us a reason to believe they can win three in a row and really just get back to the Garden now. I do at least have the belief that if they get back to the Garden in Game 7, that energy will carry them to the NBA Finals. It's really going to be Saturday night in Indianapolis. Can they get it done? Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm like everybody else in New York this morning, exhausted from watching this game last night, but really happy, man. It's a feel-good Friday, and for good reason. Jalen Brunson shows up again. Nobody works harder than he does. I mean, on the offensive end of the floor especially. I mean, they pick him up three quarters court every time. He's got to fight his way, you know, at the top of, just over half court, and just had an amazing night last night. His shooting was great. The overall shooting wasn't great, for the Knicks, especially from three-point line. But I will say that he continues to amaze. At 6'2", he continues to amaze on the offensive end of the basketball court. And what I would think drives Pacer fans crazy is, like, Tyrese Halliburton completely disappeared. I mean, a guy who had this unbelievable game, you know, in Game 4, you would think would be coming out and looking for blood and shooting right out of the gate, and didn't do any of that stuff. And Jalen Brunson did. And Jalen Brunson was an amazing player to start this game, an amazing player to finish this game. And, you know, let's face it, the Pacers did not have a great night shooting. And Tyrese Halliburton was completely invisible. And Jalen Brunson, you say whatever you want. Every single game, he's in the middle of everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything.
And this morning, it was, I saw you had a bag on your door as well. I showed up, and there was a Faraday brand bag that had some Jalen Brunson swag in it that I know was given to us before the game. And I've got a Captain Clutch sweatshirt on with number 11 on it for Jalen Brunson. So very fitting. But it's just there's very few guys, and of course you could attest to this because you played with some of them, and you also probably had some moments like this, you know, in your prime Cincinnati Bengals MVP season where the best player on the field or on the court decides they're not losing that day. And Jalen Brunson decided it wasn't happening last night.
That's right.
You know, and I know there's been times where he's said, hey, I'm going to make sure we don't lose, and they do lose. But last night was one of those nights that he said, I'm going to come out, we're going to take a lead, we're going to win this game, and there's no way in hell that those guys are going to be celebrating here in front of our fans at Madison Square Garden.
I mean, they had some weird moments last night. Let's face it. Some of his stuff still was there. I mean,
two
inbounds plays that made no sense whatsoever where they turned the ball over completely.
Yeah.
He then, he was trying to drive down the middle of the paint in the lane, and he ended up with a jump ball after that, and he mistimed the jump. I mean, there were so many things that were happening in this game last night, but thankfully, the Knicks defense really, shined through again. I mean, they were so much better. They left. I was trying to count last night. And I was making marks in my notebook.
Oh, you taking notes last night?
I think there were six missed open shots by the Pacers. You know where they're standing there,
yeah,
and the
just
ball
standing,
gets them,
yeah.
And somehow they're standing there by themselves. I think there were six of those last night. I don't think that's going to happen back in Indiana. So they're going to have to tighten the screws on defense again. They're going to have to play physical. Depending on how the officials ref these games, is a big part of the success for Karl Anthony Towns, because again, I want to take him aside and I want to sit him down and I want to Karl Anthony, let's go over every one of these fouls and let's look at your reaction to each one of these fouls, because your reaction doesn't coincide with what actually the rest of us are seeing.
Yeah, they didn't do quite that, and that would be something that would have been good on Inside the NBA when they did interview him after the game. I mean, they gave him the business about the fouls and how dumb they were. Like, straight up, you got to stop doing it. And then Karl Anthony Towns agreed, he didn't fight back with them, but they hammered him about it. And it's just, there's no defending it, even when you're Karl Anthony Towns yourself. So that's something that just has to change. You don't want to see, and by the way, Precious Achiuwa does come in the third quarter. It makes an impact for you. And
it's
saw
not just him. It's Landry Shamet.
Nobody gave. Did you see? He gave like one of these up, and he said, "I could read his lips." He was like, "That's for you, Boomer."
Good. I appreciate.
I think that's
that,
what
yes.
he said. It was at least Boomer. I don't know if it was that's for you, but I'm a lip reader now. Boomer, just up into the crowd, and I was like, "Yeah, he knows what's going on."
Hey, look, and I'll tell you what, man. The more guys that have skin in the game, the better your team's going to be. That's all I'm saying, and that's all I've ever said. And if a guy gets you as a big part of your rotation during the season, and then all of a sudden he just sits on the bench and you don't give him a shot in the playoffs, it's going to end up hurting your team in so many different ways. But they were lucky. I mean, he was lucky because they go to Hakimich, and that and Rick Carlisle is smart, very smart. And then, of course, Tom Thibodeau has got to react to that, and that's when he puts Precious in and he takes out Mitchell Robinson. So, and that hurts the team. And it all starts, and Reggie Miller said it last night, it all starts with Towns' stupid fouls and the fact that he takes himself out of these games. And now all of a sudden, you got to scramble. And the other team has got, obviously a strategy that they want to employ. And the moment that that happens, and the moment that Rick Carlisle sees that, they go right to Hakimich. Then all of a sudden, Thibodeau has to react to that. And he takes Mitch out and he puts Precious in. And that's great. I mean, that's great. It's great for Precious, but it's not great for Mitch. And it's not overall great for the team because Karl Anthony Towns is sitting on the bench with three fouls again.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. He cannot control himself. I mean, and it's not like the refs are all over him or not being fair to him. As you mentioned, every single one of these fouls he's complaining about when they're legitimate fouls. I mean, maybe if we go through all of them and be like, maybe that one's questionable. Most of them are completely legitimate. For no reason, he commits these.
And I would say this, that there are times where he's going up at the basketball and this guy's hanging all over him and he doesn't get a call. And that would frustrate me too. I mean, he's so big and he's so physical that when he gets down there, and the Pacers aren't stupid either. They're double teaming him every single time he gets the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to realize that. And a lot of times he does things with I've never seen a big man that is just like, he's got such an ease about being around the basket and somehow getting that ball into the basket.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing because sometimes he'll shoot it from the hip and it goes in. And you're like, how the hell did he do that?
Yeah, I mean, he's got command. He's ambidextrous.
Yeah, I think that part of his game is amazing. But there are times where I could see where he could be frustrated because people are bumping into him. People are hanging off of him. He's a horse. He's hard for those guys to stay with. When he really wants to play and he wants to get down low, it's hard for them. They don't have anybody to stop him.
No, but Karl Anthony Towns stops himself, which is the problem.
Which is a huge problem.
Right, and if we were going to get the Karl Anthony Towns in game three in the fourth quarter, in game six, I would guarantee a victory for the Knicks. But it just it shows up so few and so far between, and that's why it's going to be on the shoulders once again of Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson was able to get an extended rest in this game as well, because they were up and they were playing well, and they were playing defense, and the Pacers were missing some shots, and Brunson could sit there for a little bit and then get back in the game later to close it out like he always does. So this was a really, it wasn't perfect. Still too many turnovers. Josh Hart a little bit careless still. The Karl-Anthony Towns fouls, but this was a really, really solid win for them that gives hope back into everybody that was outside Madison Square Garden, everybody that was in their homes last night watching this game, that they could go into Indiana and beat them, because it doesn't have the same feel about going up against, you know, a dynasty where you're like, oh, they're going to take care of business at home. I mean, we all thought that going into this series that the odds makers were right in the Knicks being a slight favorite in the series. So that's another reason why you're like, man, you know, Tyrese Halliburton could put up another dud. That could happen. I mean, it's not as if this guy has moment after moment after moment in the postseason. I mean, that really could be the case where he just goes cold again. So just get it back to the Garden. And even though they haven't played well outside of a couple of games at home, if you get it back to the Garden in a game seven, I can't even imagine what that would be like. That would be on Monday if they
win
Saturday.
Yeah, that would be on Monday. I mean, I don't know. You know, you have Tyrese Halliburton sitting there with that back brace on, that heated back brace that he's wearing.
Yeah.
I got one of those things. It's great. I use it before golf.
Oh, do you?
Thing is awesome. Well, yeah, and you can win it at my golf tournament. So you're going to
have to. Well, I'm bowling. You know I'm not winning it.
All right. But, but he was wearing that yesterday. So I don't know if there's a problem with his back or not. That could be an issue. I don't know. But you know, on Saturday night, he is going to come out flying, and he's going to be hoisting up threes to begin the game. And the great thing about last night's game was that, you know, Thibodeau keeps talking about the first quarter. We got to control the first quarter. And they did that last night. And that you do that by not only making your own shots like Jalen Brunson was doing. I mean, this guy is 6'2". He comes out, and it's bang, 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 right?
Yeah.
The beginning of the third quarter and the beginning of the second quarter. Mm-hmm. I mean, first quarter. I mean, that is a guy that is not letting his team lose. And, you know, I don't think, like, he overdid it. Sometimes you feel like he's forcing the issue. I felt like last night there was a lot more space for him on the offensive area when he got down. Like, there wasn't – they weren't doubling him. You know, so he was able to get his shot off. Like, he's one of the best guys in the league. He's where he's able to get his own shot off at 6'2".
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
I know. I mean, we are in awe every single game, and that's why it was tough to watch him in the fourth quarter of game four and how he had 0 points and thinking, well, that's just not him. Maybe he's run out of gas. Maybe there's something going on. So the fact that he came out and dominated and said, I am the guy in this series. I am the person who is going to carry this team on my back to Indiana was everything that every Knick fan expected since they've been watching him since he got here. You know, and it was just another one of those performances. And unfortunately, because they put themselves in a 3-1 hole, we need two more of them.
It just drives you crazy that they lost game one.
I know. Now
because this was game one all over again.
Yeah,
except for the fact that they were able to shut it down at the end of the game. And credit the guys off the bench, you know, credit the fact that, that Thibodeau believes in those guys, and they came through again. So it's not crunch time minutes, but it's really important minutes. And it's important to try to do to the Pacers what the Pacers are trying to do to the Knicks. And that is get in the face of Jalen Brunson. You got to get in the face of Tyrese Halliburton. You just got to. And, you know, Siakam didn't shoot great last night.
No.
And all of a sudden, Bridges came back and started making some of his mid-range jump shots.
Yeah.
So that was good to see last night, too, by the way. And if I do have one overall criticism about one particular player, is I don't know what OG Anunoby's doing.
Yeah,
he looks like he's completely out of sync.
Yeah, I know, and it has been bad now consistently. But it's almost as if I don't know. He hasn't been the same since he went and sort of like grabbed the back of his hamstring that one time. He's playing through it, but he hasn't been the same. He's not the same offensively. He doesn't have the same burst. He's getting beat defensively. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be playing, but when he grabbed his hamstring earlier on in the playoffs, he's been wearing that big long sleeve on his leg. He just doesn't have the same aptitude on either side of the court that he'd had most of the regular season. So I don't know. I hope that he's got another great game in him, because they're certainly going to need him to win two more in the Eastern Conference Finals. And this series has kind of gone the same way without the big injury to a star player like the Celtics had with Tatum. But it's gone the same way with the Knicks and the Celtics, but the Knicks being the Celtics now and the Pacers being the Knicks in this series, meaning that, okay, game one, you blow a 20-point lead in your building. They didn't do it again in game two of the Knicks. But, of course, you had a big game three to come back and get into it, and then you go and you lose game four at home. So then you come home having to defend the home court like the Celtics did, and then you beat them. And then we all remember what happened. The Knicks, game six at home, smacked around the Boston Celtics and put them to bed. Do the Pacers have that same type of closeout attitude? Do they have that same game in them on Saturday night?
I'll tell you one thing. If Haliburton comes out and hits his first three-point shots...
shut off the TV?
I mean, shut off the TV. But if he doesn't, and there's an issue with him, because I don't know. I don't know what happened to him last night. It's one thing like Jalen Brunson's missing in the fourth quarter of game four. It's another thing when your main guy is missing the entire game. And again, it's a weird deal. Like, I don't know what to make of it. I mean, how do you have a game like he had in game four and then turn around and just not even shoot the ball?
Yeah,
I know it's Knick defense, but I also know that, you know, Jalen Brunson's got to deal with the defense on the other side, and he is dealing with it. And it's a pain in the ass. That guy works so hard on offense, Jalen does. It's ridiculous. Three quarters court, it's high top, screen and rolls and crap like that, and he is just getting bumped all over the place, and somehow he is making these shots. And, man, it's unbelievable to finally have somebody of that ilk running the basketball team that we've been rooting for 50 years.
Yeah, no, it is great. And there's going to be a ton of pressure on the Pacers to get it done at home. And Haliburton, all these things that were said about him throughout his career, that he's been shutting everybody up throughout the playoffs, he still has to silence those demons and win this series, because he put up a complete dud in game five. And if he comes out in game six and doesn't play well and Knicks win that, I mean, then all these whispers are going to come back out about him being overrated or him not being the superstar that can lead a team, or all of these things that people have been saying are going to be cropping up again. So he could think that he silenced those demons. He's still got work to do and get this team to the NBA Finals before he shuts everybody up.
I mean, whatever his deal is, it's his deal. He's got to deal with it. From the Knicks' perspective, they just got to make sure that they don't let them pace their way through the first quarter out to like a 15-point lead. You know, they have got to stop them. And a lot of that has to do with Tom Thibodeau as well, recognizing when the runs are coming, calling timeouts at the right time, slowing the game down, and not allowing him to go off. He and Siakam are the two guys that have been going off. Everybody else, Mathurin, I told you, was going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, he has shown up the last two games.
Because he was out last year. You know, he had a bad knee. And that guy's a good player. He's a really good player. And, you know, it's just good to see that the Knicks went into their bench, and Thibodeau went into the bench and gave other guys some run and gave them a chance and have some skin in the game and be a part of something that, you know, could be really special if they can pull it off again. Now, Saturday night, this will be the hardest game that this collective group will have had to have played. It's going to be Saturday night. This is going to be the hardest game for them, because I think if they can win Saturday night, then they're going to blow them away in game seven. So this game, the first 10 minutes of this game, to me, is going to have to set the tone for the next in game six.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, and it's weird because statistically, if you look at it, I mean, except for a couple of games, there's been big leads and blown leads, and we've seen it throughout the postseason. But I'm with you. I think early on, you can tell what type of Pacers team you're going to have throughout the night and what time. And then even if they are setting the pace, as you said, or they are controlling the tempo of the game, it doesn't mean the Knicks can't win. It's just going to be one of those like battles to the end, or they're going to get a run out of the building. But you know, when the Pacers are playing at their best, how difficult it is to slow them down. And they're going to have to defensively give everything they had like they did last night. You know, and there is that thing we talk about, you can't manufacture the desperation that when your back's against the wall and you can't lose another game. You can't do that. You could try to switch your brain into that mode and say, hey, let's pretend this is a win-or-go-home game, but it doesn't work that way. When it's a winner-go-home game, you know it's a winner-go-home game. And the Knicks have shown up in those situations throughout the year, and they got hopefully two more opportunities, but certainly one more opportunity after last night.
And then it was important to win last night. It really was important. Those fans deserve a win. They deserve the performance like that. They deserve the effort. And, you know, the great thing is they're even calling Landry Shamet's name.
Right,
and so he says after the game, he goes, man, I just love playing here. I mean, these fans are insane. Like, you know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he was just talking about the Knicks feel the intensity. They feel the intensity, and which is great. And I think that game one is the game that's going to end up, if they end up losing this thing, that's where the series was lost.
Well,
but last night's performance showed you that there's still that fight in them. And, you know, those Villanova kids, man, they got it. They got what it takes. So if they're, I would bet on them, man. I would bet that they're going to be able to pull it off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. What a night for the Knicks. They extend the series now 3-2 as they go back to Indiana for a game 6 on Saturday night. So you hear how we come back from break with music every single break. Well, this is how you're going to know to call for the tickets. When you hear a Post Malone song coming back from break, that's when you call. 866-540-WFAN. Is it caller number 7 after that, Al? So, all right, so you hear the Post Malone song coming back from break. Could happen next break. It could happen 8 o'clock. It could happen 7 o'clock. It could happen 9 o'clock. Then 866-540-WFAN, caller number 7 to get the Post Malone tickets at Citi Field. So pay attention, okay? Pay attention. And it's from our friends at Live Nation. If you want to purchase tickets, you can go to livenation.com. All right, Jerry, let's hear it, man.
All right, we're talking Knicks Pacers. We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Obviously, backs against the wall last night for New York. So we start with the Lime Time highlight of the night presented by Corona.
Under 3 to play in the third. Brunson with a 3.
Got it. And the foul. And the foul.
29 for Jalen Brunson. 15 in the third.
And that was Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller on TNT. Lime Time highlight of the night presented by Corona. Part of his 32-point effort. Knicks beat the Pacers 111-94. Brunson 12 of 18 shooting. Karl-Anthony Towns 24-13. First things first, here was their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. Brunson and Kat setting the tone.
But the aggressiveness of Jalen and Kat to start offensively and then the group being tied together defensively. Then when the bench came in, they did the same thing, and then we were mixing and matching, and you know, and the foul trouble changed some rotations.
Now, we saw the Pacers score 43 first-quarter points in the previous game. In this game, only 45 in the first half. Here was Brunson, such a different defensive mindset.
We came out and we had some energy in the way we played, and I'm very proud of what we did.
And while those two obviously get a lot of credit, Karl-Anthony Towns on TNT says this was a total team win.
I want to give a shout out to the bench and the guys, you know, it's everyone who comes in and they hold it down. Even when I'm making these mistakes, I got to fix that though.
All right, and mistakes like dumb fouls
thank
and silly
God,
fouls.
Thank God he recognizes it and he says it and he admits it. Good.
So
I'm
much,
glad to hear it.
So much so that it did spark a conversation between himself, Barkley, and Shaq.
When you got your fourth foul, they took you out. They made a run.
Yeah.
You got to stop
doing
that.
I got to do a much better job.
Yes.
I got to do a much better job.
You can get fouls. But a couple, like the other day when you just grabbed somebody by the wrist.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Are you talking about last game or this game?
Last game.
Every game.
Oh, you're talking about the one with the pick and roll
every game.
You just grabbed his
yeah,
arm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can't be getting those
No,
fouls.
I can't. You ain't wrong. Okay. You ain't wrong. I hurts our team. But
it's pretty good.
Shaq goes every game, nephew. You're going, nephew.
It was very funny. Here was Deuce McBride. How about the job they as a team?
Is everybody related to Shaq?
No, I mean, obviously he's not. Yeah, no, it's just one of the terms of endearment there for a young guy in the league.
McBride on how they did, and specifically Mikal Bridges did, guarding Tyrese Haliburton.
I mean, honestly, it's just, you know, guarding your yard. At the end of the day, just, you know, not wanting to get scored on, taking pride in defense, and that's what he's doing.
Haliburton just 8 points, 2 of 7 shooting.
Well, that's the point. I mean, like, he if he doesn't shoot...
Can't score.
And by the way, you know, 3-point shooting for OG, Mikal, Towns, and Hart, 2 for 16. I mean, they didn't have a great night shooting either.
They did not. That is very true. But you're also not expecting them to light it up the way you're expecting Haliburton.
Especially after coming off of game four.
Exactly. Here he was. He says he was not surprised that the Knicks played desperate.
I mean, we're up 3-1. Their season's on the line today. You know, so I understand they're going to come out and play hard, you know, increase the pressure, do whatever they got to do to win. And they did a great job of that. And, you know, now it's on us to respond in game six.
And then there is Pascal Siakam. He says, hey, you know what? Give the Knicks credit with the way they came out and fought.
They played harder than us, I think. I think they played harder than us. You know, loose balls, like rebounds, like all that. We got to be able to win that battle.
Now, in another...
It sounds like the Knicks after game four.
It's like a lot of teams that lose say that after a loss. And there was one reporter who just couldn't understand.
And let me just set it up. This guy has been a pain in the neck for athletes for a long time.
So this is the guy that was suspended for the Caitlin Clark interview, right?
Yes. But he's also been a columnist. He used to work for CBSSports.com. His name's Greg Doyle. He's an antagonist is what he is. So you should know that. Going in before you hear the audio, that this is his thing.
He's like Brett from Long Island.
Yes. Yeah, he is. Yes. Yeah, if Brett from Long Island were a reporter, it would be Greg Doyle.
Okay. I likened it to like if Joe was in the locker room asking questions.
Yeah.
After a bad jet loss.
Yeah, true. Okay.
And, you know, Mark Sanchez says, yeah, we weren't ready to play. Something like that. And Joe goes off on the guy.
Yeah.
So this was the reporter just not understanding how they don't play as hard as the Knicks.
How is that possible?
What do you mean?
How is it possible to not fight hard enough in games?
What are you talking about? They played harder than us. It's okay. We played hard, but they played harder. What's your point? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. And then the report, and then Doyle replies.
My point is, you're saying you guys got out-fought, and I'm saying...
That happens in a game, though. That's basketball.
In game 5, we didn't play
hard? You're good? You're good, bro? You're looking for something, I know, but damn.
But damn. And then at this point, he's had enough.
I told you. What else do you want me to tell you?
Why don't you tell me how? That's all I'm asking.
Well, what about you telling me? So go ahead. Who's this guy?
Which was surprising to me because him, you know, he works for the Indianapolis Star now, and Siakam's been there for a while, and Doyle's just a jerk that you would, I would assume they would have known him already.
He's a columnist, right?
Yeah. I mean, so but a local one out there.
Yeah, but you might not see him as much as now you see him during the playoffs, probably shows up for every game.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the locker room for a random game against the Hornets.
Yeah.
Understood. So you've got a 3-2 series lead now for the Pacers, and you've got game 6 in Indiana tomorrow night. By the way, the Knicks did snap the Pacers' 6-game road winning streak. So good win last night for them. 8 p.m. tomorrow night at Indy. We'll see. And I saw Al was telling me about John Cooker Mellencamp not happy with the McAfee stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see if they go WWE style again for game 6. We shall see.
Didn't Ben Stiller invite Pat McAfee to the Knicks game or something?
I did not see that. I saw the Mellencamp social media thing, but did he? Al, you're nodding. So, okay. Yes.
Yeah, what was the story there?
I guess he invited him to a game, but then somehow it seemed like Pat McAfee was checking the prices of the tickets and was like, I can't afford to go to that.
Oh, so he didn't offer him a ticket.
He can't afford, but Sal bought tickets.
Well, he wanted to sit with Ben Stiller down in the, you know, those tickets.
He could afford them.
Yeah, I think he said the tickets were $171,000.
He can afford them. Didn't he sign a $100 million deal?
It's something like that. Yeah. It was a lot. I don't know if it was the full $100 million, but it was a lot of money.
I think he's all right. Baseball tonight, the Mets face the 9-47 Rockies at Citi Field. You got David Peterson and Kyle Freeland, the starters. The Yankees and Dodgers out in Los Angeles. Max Fried, Tony Gonsolin, the starters there. We will have it on the Fan. LA did acquire Edwin Diaz's brother, Alexis Diaz.
From the Reds?
From the Reds, correct, yes. Wow. Didn't see what they gave up for
him. They don't waste any time, do they?
Need more people. Need more bodies. Exactly. At Jets camp, though, we heard from Brian Daboll and the Giants yesterday. At Jets camp, Justin Fields ready to take things over as the new Jets starting quarterback.
I think I can be great, you know. That's been the goal for me my whole life, my whole career. So, like I said, you know, I think the sky's the limit, you know, for this team, for this offense. But we do have a long way to go.
Well, every team does. But, boy, if he could be great, that would be great for the Jets. Meantime, a former Jet who is now at another stop is making his way through Vegas. Here is Chip Kelly talking about one Geno Smith, a guy that Al once sung about.
Geno's literally like a second coach. You know, when you're in that room with him and Greg Olsen, it's, you know, there's a lot of ideas going around, and then it's just a matter of corralling it, because sometimes you can have too many ideas. Like, let's try to do a million things, and then you don't get good at one thing. But, you know, he is, his football acumen is really off the charts. And it's impressive to be around him.
A Jet way back when.
Yeah.
Geno, we know you blow.
He didn't in Seattle, that we do know. In Miami, Mike McDaniel. Looking at his team, says Tua's putting the work in and growing as a leader.
It's consistency of development.
That's actually boring. Let's not play that. How about Jalen Ramsey, who's not there? Mm. He either wants to be traded or whatever the deal is. I know you got the stuff with Jonnu Smith as well. Any update, Coach?
I mean, quite honestly, zero has changed since the last time I said anything about him. And I'm very much interested in the players that I'm coaching on the field today.
17 seconds to say, no, nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. And then last night you had, we know the Panthers are in the Stanley Cup Finals, and we will see a Panthers-Oilers rematch because last night Edmonton took down Dallas.
Nudge free to Hintz, one-timer ripped and blocked by Ekholm. That'll lead to a breakaway for Connor McDavid. He's in and he scores! Connor McDavid drags it back to his forehand.
Pretty good.
And Edmonton has regained a two-goal lead.
Yeah, 4-2 at that point. They wound up winning 6-3. Oilers radio with the call. Just a crazy play on the breakaway.
I mean, his skating ability is off the charts. His hockey IQ is off the charts. His size and his speed are off the charts.
Yeah.
You call a five-tool player right there, Jerry.
And you know how over the past years, it's, you know, you don't touch the cup, touch the cup, touch the cup. That's the Stanley Cup. So I guess these guys don't touch the conference championship trophy either.
Well, some
do. Well, here was McDavid. They did last night.
Oh. Pretty obvious, I think. Don't touch it last year, don't win. Touch it this year, hopefully we win.
And they're playing the same team in the Panthers who beat them 4-3 a year ago, Leon Draisaitl.
We know what they're about. We played them 7 times, and they're a good team. We're a really good team as well. Obviously, it's nice to get a shot at, you know, getting some revenge. But
you know,
I know it's Florida and Edmonton.
Right, but
it's going to be a war.
So that's what I was just going to say. You've got a series that, be fair, no one's going to watch. And it's going to be great hockey.
I'll watch.
You know what I mean? The masses are not going to watch. The ratings are going to be terrible. But it will be great hockey. And if the Pacers beat the Knicks, Indiana, Oklahoma City, the country won't watch. But that is going to be up and down crazy basketball.
Well, the amazing thing is that you have Shea Gilgeous Alexander, who's one of the best players in the league. And then, of course, you have Connor McDavid, who is the best player in the league. And, you know, they're both making it to their championship. And it's going to be unfortunate that a lot of people aren't going to be watching.
For sure.
Yeah, if the Knicks are out,
I know you would
sleep in.
And yet, if you're a basketball fan, those games will be amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. I think OKC will kill either one of these teams.
I mean the up and down, Nate. The pace of the game will be fun to watch. That's all.
Yeah.
I think.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Knicks win game 5, 888-808-1019 if you want to talk about it on this Feel Good Friday morning. So I got a text from Big Hurls yesterday where he put me and Tom Izzo, Big Hurls is our program director, our brand manager here at WFAN Odyssey New York, and he put me and Izzo on the group text. I actually was with you when I received this text, and I said, you know what, I'll just put this down and I'll deal with this later. And he requested that I do a reaction video after the game, like an instant reaction video.
Did you?
I did, because brand manager asked for it. You know, he doesn't ask for much from us and no, leaves us alone.
That's respect on your part if he asked you to do it.
I did it.
I would have respectfully declined.
Sure.
So I said, nobody gives a I didn't say it.
Yeah, it was very close.
I was very close, but I didn't say it.
But you're right. I mean, we do have, you know, the 4 hours to talk about it. But I was shot. I was on my last legs when I recorded this video.
It's been a hard couple days for us, man.
No, it's not a hard couple days. I'm just talking about, like, we went up to Sleepy Hollow. We played. We walked half of the course. I got in the car. It said 2 hours and 41 minutes of ways. I got home. I put both of the girls to bed. To sleep sounds like the vet. That does not good. Put both the girls to bed.
Yes.
And because I hadn't seen them all day, so I had spent some time with them. Sat down, watched a half hour of the Tylenol documentary with Gina before the game started because I wanted to spend some time with her. They had to go into the other room. I watched the game, and then when it's over, I'm just like, start the video on my phone. All right. Nice win. Good job. And I went back and looked at it. I mean, I have one eye barely open. It's bloodshot. I mean, I have no idea how I even was able to form a sentence. So there's your instant reaction. You know, I'm not one of these guys outside in the streets of the Garden that can be going crazy all night long because they're in their 20s and they're drunk and they don't have to get up until 1:30 p.m.
You once were one of those guys.
I was. Not anymore, man. You're going to get the energy this morning. You're not going to get it last night.
That's so funny because I feel like I had the same situation. So.
Yeah. It was just like, all right, this is what he wants. Then he's going to get it. But the other thing is, too, like, I'm in a house. I can't. There's kids are sleeping. Gina's sleeping. There's dogs everywhere. They hear yelling. They're going to start barking and waking everybody up. So it's not like I can be like,
you're excited about it.
Right. I just can't be screaming about it.
Yeah, I understand that. But you are excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you do get up at 3:15 in the morning.
3:25.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, the last thing I want to do is do some reaction video. So I'm glad that Big Hurls did not ask me to do that.
Yeah. He's probably not going to ask me again with the energy, the little energy that I had with your instant reaction video.
So is this why all these guys are doing that around here now, you think?
Yeah. I mean, once he asked me, I was like, okay, now it makes sense why everybody's doing it. But I saw C-Mac, and C-Mac was like, man, I was going to bust your balls about this morning, but I chose not to because I know you were up and whatever. I said,
C-Mac,
you should
have.
I was like,
100%.
You should have made fun of it. I was going to say, man, everybody's all fired up, you know, partying
still
in the
up there.
Oh, yeah, it's still up there.
All right, I'll have to check it out in the break.
I think whoever posted it, probably Izzo or maybe Chicken Parm Lou, was like, they had to put in the description an exhausted Geo recaps. Because I had nothing. I had absolutely nothing. But it was easy to go to sleep after that game because I was happy. I wasn't recapping things that were annoying me. We had a great day earlier. I mean, it was just that was an A-plus spring day for us yesterday.
Yes,
man.
It was.
And then into the nighttime with the Knicks. I mean, it doesn't get better than that as we head into the weekend on this Feel Good Friday. And now we look ahead to Saturday night. And I just... The Halliburton thing to me, from a Pacers perspective, is the most interesting thing. I know what the Knicks need to do, but I have no idea after that miserable performance last night by Tyrese Halliburton what we're going to get out of him.
I know what we're going to get out of him. We're going to get out of him coming out of the locker room shooting.
You think he's going to be great, though?
I don't know if he'll be great, but I have a feeling that, as Reggie Miller keeps saying about him, and Reggie's right. I mean, if you want to be a star, you got to be the guy. And I know he wants to distribute the ball, and I know he's a very good facilitator. We all know that. But, I mean, when he is on and he's throwing those raindrop or those teardrop three-pointers in there, I mean, it's like impossible to stop. So I got to believe that Saturday night he's going to be coming out and he's going to be firing And you better be up in his grill, and you better be making him work for it. And don't foul him. I mean, you don't want the four-point play like we had last night for Jalen Brunson. I mean, and everybody's talking about it. You know, the first quarter. Don't let them get, you know, boat race you in the first quarter. And I think it's a very sound strategy by the New York Knicks going into Game 6.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tremendous. And if they ever get back here for that Game 7, that is going to be amazing. One of the most coveted tickets we've seen in New York sports in a long time, if they get to a Game 7. And so Evan, he ends up going to the game. Evan Roberts, of course, he's got the Knicks season tickets. He sells a lot of them. He'll go to games because he likes basketball. But he doesn't sell last night's game. And he goes. And I'm like, what are you doing going to this game? You could have gotten a pretty penny for this one, too. It's Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, for God's sakes. You could have sold it before the series because people would have thought that the Knicks wouldn't have been down 3-1 and probably gotten more for it. But he goes, and then I hear the explanation of why he goes. So a Nets fan that he's friends with, who actually used to produce my show over at the Upside Down on CBS Sports Radio, his name's Mike Biseglia. So he's a big Nets fan. He gets mad at Evan and says, why'd you buy those Knicks season tickets? You're a Nets fan. It doesn't look good. And it gets legitimately angry. So Evan promises him years ago.
Legitimately angry. He was getting, he was buying sports tickets.
Exactly. Well, it's Mike Biseglia. He's a little bit off. Okay. He knows that. I love the guy. Still texting him all the time. A little bit off.
Okay.
So Evan goes, listen, I'll promise you is if the Knicks have an elimination game in the playoffs at Madison Square Garden, I will take you to that elimination game. We could celebrate together. This was like 3 years ago. So that opportunity finally cropped up last night. And you know what?
Right in the ass. Right in the ass with those two guys. Biseglia, Roberts, right in the ass.
Oh, so, great.
So did Biseglia buy the tickets, or were these Evans tickets?
They were Evans tickets. They went with Evans tickets.
Okay, I thought Biseglia said he would take him to
it. No. Biseglia was mad at Evan Roberts for buying the tickets.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He was the Nets fan who was mad at Evan going, we're supposed to stick together. How could you buy Knicks season tickets, all of this stuff?
Well, because he wants to see real basketball.
And we know the reason why.
I mean, you know, it's the Knicks. Come on.
Yeah.
It's Broadway. Look at all the celebrities.
Yeah, so, right, I know. It was Chalamet and Jenner and Stiller and blah. So now Game 7, I mean, he did promise him elimination game at the Garden that he would bring them so they could celebrate. Now, he brought him to Game 5. Game 7, if you're Evan Roberts, I don't care how much you love sports. And Miles Teller next to Chalamet last night. And then is there anybody more famous than Gail King? She went to space. Boomer, she went to space. If Game 7, you got to sell it. I don't care how much you love sports. I don't care what book you're writing next. If you're Evan Roberts and you are not a Knicks fan and they come back for Game 7, if you don't sell that ticket, someone needs to punch him square in his face.
Yeah, I think you're hurting your family.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I mean, that goes right into the 529.
I mean, my God. So he better not be in that building. And he did a video from his seats last night. He could lick the ceiling of the Garden with those seats. I mean, honestly, he could take a piece of gum out of his mouth and stick it to the top of Madison Square Garden. I mean, it is unbelievable where his seats are. I'm like, I saw some guy working on a catwalk right next to the drill.
So he's in the building. So yesterday I find out that a friend of ours was at Game 1 of this particular series. And that friend of ours left with a minute and 10 seconds to go.
Oh, no.
Thinking that the game was over, everything was great.
Oh.
And he got back to his apartment and was able to turn on the TV and watch the entire overtime.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's a tough one. But you know what? It wasn't like they came back and won. That would have been worse.
And he left because he goes, you know, we got to get out of here. This is going to be madhouse out here, you know, on 7th Avenue.
Yeah.
I just want to get out of here. I want to be able to get home.
Wasn't John Franco, was it?
No.
By the way, John Franco completely pushed out of the whole celebrity thing. This guy goes,
John Franco's not around.
Oh, really?
I know where he is, yes.
Oh, but even if he was around, he'd be way down on the list now. Guy goes to every game throughout the regular season. Knicks and Rangers, he's put up on the board. Playoffs come around, he takes off. It's gone.
He had a wedding to go to. Know that, and it was an international destination.
International wedding.
Yes.
Is he watching the game still over there?
I'm sure he is, yes.
Okay. All right. Because I was thinking about him last night. I'm like, you know, they never show Franco anymore. I mean, they show Strahan. They show all the, like, Russell Wilson, some other New York athletes, past and present, but no more Franco. But Franco's not even there.
China.
Is he in China?
No, he's not.
The Francos go to China next on Bravo. It's Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS.
All I can tell you is that the two weirdest things, John Franco is somewhere in the world with Billy H.
Get out of here. Really? Your buddy Billy H from Greenwich?
Toughest guy in Greenwich? Yeah, because he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. He's the toughest guy in Greenwich.
Yes, exactly. Well, at least that's what he tells us. But I don't know if that's true. But he and John Franco are...
in China together?
Are somewhere internationally.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding you.
That is bizarre.
Believe me, it is. I couldn't believe it when I was getting the text messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.